This is also for you, Brother Sorensen. You need that.
Well, it's my delight to be with you here in Shepherdsville, Indiana, at Fellowship Baptist Church, and be back down home in Indiana. I grew up in central Illinois, not that far away, and so I'm used to the Midwest. We're from Duluth, Minnesota, and how many have ever been to Duluth, Minnesota? One. Okay. Well, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. And we're the coldest city in the lower 48, according to government statistics. And the Chamber of Commerce doesn't advertise that. But we live in a city that's on the shores of Lake Superior, and it gets cold there in the wintertime. But we're glad to be here today. My dear wife, Pam, is here in the front row. She'll stand and smile at you. And we have two daughters. Heidi is a registered nurse and a graduate of Pensacola Christian College. She lives near us, and she's one of the pillars in our church, a pianist, choir director, Sunday school teacher, and she just does anything that needs to be done in the church, and she's a real blessing to us. And our other daughter, Heather, is a Christian musician who lives in Texas. She writes music, arranges music, and performs music and so forth. But so that is our family. And my father was an independent Baptist pastor for about 50 years. And my grandfather was a fundamental Baptist pastor for 50 years before that. And David said, "Thou hast given me the heritage of them that fear thy name." And so I'm thankful to God for that heritage which he has given me. I'll tell you a little bit more about our home and our family and our situation later tonight and in the other meetings. But this morning, take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 1, please. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is the preface, if you will, to the book of Psalms. And it's one of my favorite Psalms. If you ask me to sign your Bible or a book or whatever, I'll write Psalm 1, 1 through 3 there. But anyway, Psalm chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning in this sweet psalm. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Our Father, this morning, as we look at this sweet and short psalm in your word, give us understanding today, and may our hearts be opened to what the Spirit has to say to the church today. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 1, as I said, is the preface to the book of Psalms. Spurgeon called it the treasury of David. And in this short psalm, truth here pertains to this very day. I mean, the principles here haven't changed in 3,000 years. They haven't changed ever. Six simple verses here, and I'm going to summarize these six verses today in six key words this morning. So, word number one this morning is separation. Notice verse 1. "Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The book of Psalms starts with three negatives. I've had folks say, "Well, Pastor Sorensen, you should accentuate the positive and avoid the negative." Well, folks, for every negative, or for every positive, I should say, there's an equal and opposite negative.
Right.
And if you don't believe that, go out and take the negative cable off your battery after church and see what happens. I mean, you have to have the negative with the positive. And the book of Psalms begins with the principle of separation. God said, I will bless those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. The influence and the philosophy of the ungodly. The influence of the world, it's all about us. We are in the world, but the Bible says we ought not be part of it. The scripture does not teach that we ought to be a hermit and go live in a cave and or be an ascetic and go sit on the mountaintop. We are in the world, but we ought not be a part of it, to not be conformed to it, to not be influenced by it to the best of our ability. And God will bless those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. God will bless those who stand not in the way of sinners. Now that word way there has the idea of location. In the pathway, if you can think of it that way. In the place of sinners. And there certainly are places of the world all about us. Now, I'm not intimately familiar with this town. I drove in late yesterday afternoon, and so I don't know much about Shepherdsville or Terre Haute or Clinton. Clinton's the next town up the road. Okay, I came down Highway 63 from Central Illinois. I'm not familiar with your community, but I suspect there are places of the world around here. There certainly are in our place. Our area, among other things, is full of casinos. Full of them. I mean, I can't even begin to name all the casinos up in our area. And, of course, that's because there are Indian reservations in our area. My wife's father grew up on one. I'll tell you a little bit more about that tonight. But every reservation or every band has their own casino. And you won't see me in one of those casinos. It's just a place to lighten your wallet, by the way. But apart from that, they are godless places. They are the place of sinners. People say to me, back just a couple weeks ago, back at the end of August, I guess it was, so that's been about 6-7 weeks ago, thought that we were going to go out to eat with some friends that are associates of ours. They're not Christians, but they are neighbors. And they said, let's go to the casino over here because they have good food at a cheap price. And they do. I said, no, we're not going there. How come? Well, I said, just as a matter of principle. I believe that casinos are a place of gambling, and we're just not going to go there. And so we didn't. But they're the place of the world. I mean, in our community in Duluth and Superior, there are streets. Kind of a standing joke about Superior, Wisconsin. That's right across the bay from us. Lake Superior is there, and there's a harbor where the ships come in, and there's the bay between us. And Duluth is on one side, Superior, Wisconsin's on the other side. And it seems like the major industry in Superior, Wisconsin are taverns. And there are some streets in Duluth like that, where it's nothing but one bar after another. Folks, that's the place of the world. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that standeth not in the way of sinners, the world's crowd. And then notice, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. We live in a world today, a false philosophy, and a world today that makes mockery of the things of God, and they laugh at it, and they scoff at it. And, I mean, public education today is a place where largely the things of God are scorned. Where homosexuality, quite frankly, in our area, is promoted in the public schools. And transgenderism, if I can put it that way, is promoted in the local schools. And they mock at biblical values and scorn those who would hold scriptural values. And the Bible, or I should say Psalm 1, begins by preaching that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There is blessing in getting out of the world and the things of the world. But notice, key word number two today, and this is where I really want to park this morning, and that is Scripture. In verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, notice it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. God said, I'll bless one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. I wonder how many Christians really delight in God's Word. Oh, you have a Bible, you may have the right Bible, and you carry your Bible to church, and And you respect the Bible, but I wonder how many Christians actually delight in the law of the Lord. I mean, by the way, you know what the real religion in America is today? It's sports. And I'm not against sports. Someone asked me if I'm a Vikings fan. No, this is my Green Bay Packer tie. I'm not opposed to sports, don't misunderstand, but we live in a day and a culture today where in this country and in much of the world, sports has become the real God. And the temple are the arenas and the stadiums. Up in Minneapolis, they just built a $1.1 billion stadium for the Minnesota Vikings to play in. And I'm afraid I'm helping to pay for it through my taxes. But I digress. I didn't come here today to preach against sports, but it's become idolatry in America. But I guess here's where I was going with that. Christians delight in sports, and I'm not saying that's wrong. But I wonder how many delight in the law of the Lord, God's Word. How many people look forward to spending some time in the Word each day and set apart time each day in the Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. David penned those words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit 3,000 years ago. Nothing has changed in 3,000 years. God has said, I will bless one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And rare is the day when I don't begin the day with the Lord in his word. Rare is the day. I mean, occasionally, once in a blue moon, I might be sick when I get up in the morning and I don't get in the Word, but that's a rare day. As a pastor, and incidentally, I'm retired as senior pastor now. I'm pastor emeritus. Someone says, what's that mean? It just means retired pastor. But we're traveling around the country and really around the continent. I've been up in Canada. I'm going back up to Canada here next month. And preaching and going down to Florida, I mean, from one end of the continent to the other, at least the United States and Canada. But I'm no longer an active pastor, and that's why I'm able to be with you here today. But there rarely is a day. I mean, when I was a pastor, occasionally, maybe at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd get a phone call, and I had to run to the hospital, and someone was in crisis. And there have been days when I didn't begin the day with the Lord. But folks, you get up, and you don't eat anything, and what's your stomach do? It growls, and you're hungry. And you don't feel as good and don't have as much energy. Well, folks, when we don't partake of the Word of life and the bread of life and the water of life and the milk of the Word and the meat of the Word, it leaves us empty on the inside. And we have a lot of Christians running around who are empty on the inside. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his day, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, you say, well, Brother Sorensen, does that mean I'm supposed to get up and just spend all day meditating on God's Word and as much of the night that I can stay awake meditating on God's Word? No, that's not what it's teaching, I don't think. I believe that what the psalmist here is saying is that we need to spend time in the day and in the evening in God's Word. In other words, start the day and end the day in God's Word. And Psalm 1 is actually a divinely inspired commentary of Joshua 1. There in Joshua 1 and verse 8, God said to Joshua, Moses had died, and now Joshua had inherited the whatever privilege it was of leadership and the burden of leading a nation of 2 million people. Imagine being a pastor of 2.5 million people, brother. Bad enough, and you got 100 people. And so God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, and that's the key, that we actually learn to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. And David here, 400 years after Joshua, is making comment thereon here in Psalm 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, starting the day and ending the day in the Word of God. I wonder how many Christians actually do that. Getting up and spending some time with the Lord each day. Now, we changed time zones when we drove from Illinois into Indiana yesterday. And I always get up the same time back home. And I did this morning. But it was an hour earlier because I'm in Eastern time. But getting up and spending time in the Word. Do you know that 4 chapters a day in the Bible will take you through the Bible in 1 year? And I'm not saying that's the only way you ought to read your Bible, but spend some time in God's Word. 3 chapters a day in the morning in the Old Testament, 1 chapter a day in the evening in the New Testament. That'll easily take you through the Word of God in 1 year. Time in God's Word every day. And we need to, incidentally, by the way, that takes 20 minutes. Can you give the Lord 20 minutes a day? 15 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening? To spend time in the Word. You'll go through the Word of God in 1 year. And that leaves time over for days when you're sick or when something happens and your schedule's disrupted. 4 chapters a day in God's Word. Discipline yourself to be in the Word day and night. I had somebody say to me years ago, well, Brother Sorensen, I think we ought to go to the Bible because we want to, not because we have to. Well, folks, that's kind of a hit and miss approach, because there are going to be many days when you don't feel like getting in the Word. You get up and you've got a head cold in the morning, you get up and you're stuffy in the morning, or you get up and there are all sorts of problems or distractions or other things and you don't get in the Word. And that is more hit than miss when we approach the Word of God that way. Discipline yourself to get in the Word every day. Have a specific time each day. If you were to come to my house, you'd find at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll be in the Word. I was in the Word at 6 o'clock this morning here on Indiana time. But have a specific time. Have a specific place. I get up in the morning and I sit down on the couch in our living room where there's a nice bright light there. And I'm there in that same place every morning. 7 days a week. A specific goal, whether it's reading the Bible through once a year or some other schedule that you might have for studying God's Word, but to be in the Word each day. And I have disciplined myself to spend a substantial amount of time each day reading God's Word. And I have. A preacher challenged me back in 1973 about going through the Word of God multiple times a year, and that was in September, I believe, or October. But anyway, in the autumn of 1973, that was 43 years ago. And for the last 43 years, I've spent substantial time every single day in God's Word. And it's changed my life. It's kept me straight theologically. It's kept me straight philosophically. It's kept me straight morally. Whereabouts will a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? And you read about scandals and things that Christian people sometimes get into. I'll tell you the cure for that. That's being in God's word every single day, day and night, 365 days a year. It'll change your life. I flew to speak at a Bible college some years ago, and the college was about an hour from the airport, and so they sent the dean of the Bible department to pick me up at the airport and bring me back to the college to speak, and I had never met this gentleman before, and he didn't know me. And so in the drive back from the airport, just to make conversation, he said, Brother Sorensen, is there a book that has really influenced you and changed your life? I said, as a matter of fact, there is. What was the book you were thinking about? But it'll change your life. It'll change your life, as we'll see here in just a moment. And so discipline yourself to be in God's Word, literally day and night, 365 days a year, in His law that He meditate day and night. And so key word number one this morning is separation. Key word number two this morning is scripture. Key word number three this morning is strength and stability. Strength and stability. Notice verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, verse 3 is predicated upon verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 is basically get out of the world, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand not in the way of sinners, sit not in the seat of the scornful, get out of the world. Verse 2 is get into the Word. Isn't that a simple outline? get out of the world and get into the Word. That's pretty simple. And verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree. Like a tree. Now, much of my growing up was in central Illinois, where I was at here several days this week, a town called Pekin, Illinois. It's on the Illinois River, just south of Peoria. And we left there yesterday and came up, because you're in a valley, and soon we're on the prairie of Illinois. And as far as you could see, it was flat. Cornfields and soybean fields. As we drove mile after mile across Illinois, where we live up in Minnesota, in Duluth, we live in forest country. And there are woods all over the place, and they just grow up naturally. And we bought our home. Or I take that back. We bought our land that we built our home on about 26 years ago, something like that. And it was completely wooded. And I had to cut down about 200 trees for the driveway and for the house side and then for the septic field out and back. I hated every one of them. I hated to cut down every one of them. I love trees. I love woods. And that's what attracted us to this property. He shall be like a tree. There's something about a tree, folks. It doesn't say he shall be like a dandelion. It doesn't say he shall be like a tumbleweed, which probably don't have those around here. We don't either. Doesn't say he shall be like a bush. The guy who gets out of the world and the gal who gets out of the world and gets into the Word, he or she shall be like a tree. There's strength there. There's stability there. He shall be like a tree planted. Now, the idea in being planted is the idea of being rooted. Not only is there strength in a tree, there's stability in a tree. I mean, trees sometimes blow down, but they usually don't. Trees are rooted. And implicit is strength and stability of life. And I watch Christians over the years. I've been in a pastoral ministry for about 47 years, going on 48 years. And I've watched a lot of Christians. And some of them are like tumbleweeds, and blown by every wind of doctrine and tossed about, and others are just unstable in life. And there's endless problems, and they lurch from crisis to crisis and difficulty to difficulty. And there's nothing stable in their lives. Well, we're reading right here about a formula and a recipe and a design that'll give you strength and stability in your life. Get out of the world and get into the Word day and night. Start the day, end the day in the world. He shall be like a tree. That's predicated upon being out of the world and into the Word. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, when we bought our home site in Duluth, the land that we built on, it was largely a woods of birch trees. That's what attracted us. Wow. Look at all these birch trees, acres and acres. We bought 6 acres, and there's acres all around it of birch trees. Huh? They're beautiful. You get a picture out of the National Geographic, and I'll show birch woods in northern Minnesota. Well, we quickly learned that for a variety of reasons, the birch woods were thinning out. Part of it was old age. It had been there for a long time. Part of it was a drought. It had been several years of drought. Part of it was a blight, some kind of bug that was infesting them and killing them. And our birch trees were dying. So we decided to plant a bunch of spruce trees. Now that's kind of, Christmas trees. But wild spruce trees. And I went to the DNR there in Minnesota, and they had some kind of special sale on in the spring where I bought 400 little seedling spruce trees. They're about that tall. And planted them all across our property because I knew that the birch trees were thinning out. And I didn't know anything about spruce trees. Never grew a tree in my life. I would transplant some larger trees occasionally over the years. And I came to find out that the spruce trees didn't like the soil that was in our area, at least where our property was at. And so I'd fertilize them, and I used the wrong fertilizer, and I killed the most of them. And monkeyed with them, and finally figured out the right fertilizer and the right process and the right amount and all that sort of thing, using little fertilizer stakes that you can buy at the Home Depot or whatever. And today, out of those 400 trees, I suppose, I haven't counted, but there's 50 or 75 of those trees still left out there. But today, you know, they're getting 40 and 50 feet tall, some of them, 20 and 30 and 40. And so we've got some, amongst all the other woods out there, there's some nice spruce trees. And I say all of that to say this, it was a big hassle for me to get those trees to grow. Every spring I go out there and fertilize them. I still do. And it's work to pound those stakes in the ground around each of those trees. But anyway, so that's the backdrop for where I'm going with this story. If you come to our church there in Duluth, Minnesota, down across the front of the property, we have roughly 10 acres there that the church sits on, and down across the front of the property is a creek. In fact, it's a trout stream, according to DNR. I've never seen a fish in it. But I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, a spruce tree started to grow there right over the driveway crosses over the culvert onto the parking lot of the church. And a spruce tree started to grow up there by the creek. I didn't fertilize it. I didn't weed it. I didn't do anything to it. But after 7 or 8 years, that tree is about 40 feet tall. What's the difference? It was a tree that was planted by a river of water. Not really a river, but just a creek. But nevertheless, it was right on the bank. I mean, just, probably 3 or 4 feet away from the water of the creek. And it grew. And it grew quickly. And he shall be like a tree planted by a river of water. My first year out of high school. Long story, I don't have time to go into all the story, but I wound up working on a survey crew for the Central Illinois Light Company. That year was the birth of the EPA, and they knew that the EPA was going to be on their case about the thermal influence they had on the Illinois River, putting all the heat discharge from that particular power plant. And long story short, we wound up spending the better part of the summer surveying the Illinois River, the banks of it, the current of it, the channel, and all that sort of thing. And along the bank of the Illinois River are the levees, and on those levees there were cottonwood trees that were that big around. Huge cottonwood trees. Well, they were planted by a river of water. Literally. And as we get out of the world and get into the Word, it says we should be like a tree planted by a river of water, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Fruitful. Fruitful spiritually. In the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, fruitful spiritually in reproducing others and winning people to Christ. But again, it's getting out of the world and meditating in his Word day and night. Being in the Word each day. And he goes on to say, his leaf also shall not wither. I've watched Christians over the years, frequently, they get saved and then they grow for a while, and then maybe it's discouragement, maybe somebody offends them, maybe the allure of the world catches their attention again, and they drift back into the world. And they wither spiritually. But here we read, you get out of the world and get into the Word, delight in his law and meditate therein day and night, he shall be like a tree whose leaf withereth not. But then notice the last promise here in verse 3. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prospering. Well, that's not my word, that's God's word. That's not my promise, that's his promise. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You say, well, that's true for you preachers and evangelists and missionaries, that God will give you a fruitful ministry. No, it says whatever. You get into the Word day and night. It says whatever you do will prosper. That doesn't mean you're going to get rich. That doesn't mean you're going to become wealthy and famous, but it says what you do will prosper. You will succeed. Recall what God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way, what? Prosperous. And then shalt thou have good success. God will prosper our lives and help us to be successful. And so getting out of the world, and particularly getting into the Word. And by the way, you get into the Word day and night, and you will get out of the world. God's Word will influence. And so, word number one this morning, separation. Word number two this morning, scripture. Word number three this morning, strength and stability. Word number four this morning, stubble. Notice verse four. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly don't have that blessing. The ungodly don't have that strength. The ungodly don't have that stability of life. They're like the chaff which the wind bloweth away. Well, I've not ever lived on a farm, but he's using a farm illustration here, chaff. It's the byproduct, or what's left over, the harvesting and the combining process. As we drove down here across Illinois, northern Illinois the other day, we saw the harvest machines out there, the bean picking machines, and as they would process the plants, or you know, pick them and process them and put the beans in a bin, and out the back of the machine came what? Chaff. Dust that the wind drives. And the scripture says the ungodly are not, they don't have that strength and that stability that God gives to those that absorb his word. They're like the chaff. You come up to Duluth, Minnesota, and you cross into the city on Interstate 535 over the harbor there, and there are ships loading grain, and ships go all over the world with grain that comes into the port there. From western Minnesota and the Dakotas and in that direction. And they gravity feed the ships, and the bridge is high. You're looking down on the ships, actually. And they gravity feed them out of chutes from the elevators there. And down into the hold of the ships goes the grain. It's usually some variety of wheat, for the most part, is what gets, it goes out. But up out of the hold comes dust. That's chaff. And the wind blows it and settles it somewhere else. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. I went to my 50th high school graduation commemoration, reception, gathering, reunion, there you go, that's the right word, 2 years ago, and saw people in some cases I haven't seen in 50 years, in fact, in most cases. And in most cases, they were like the chaff which the wind had driven away. Their lives were a mess, broken marriages, messed up lives, addictions, and a few of them had criminal issues in their life. And yet, in our high school, in our youth group, there were some godly people. This was back before the day of Christian schools and certainly before homeschooling. And there were some godly young people in that church. I wound up meeting up with someone I hadn't seen in years, and how God has kept them stable and strong and steady across the years. But the ungodly are not so. Stubble. And then notice number five here this morning, they shall not stand. In other words, when they stand before God someday, they'll not prevail. They'll not stand. He'll say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then number six this morning, the summary. Notice verse six. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And it just comes back to where the verse started, getting out of the world and getting into the Word. Christian people today, now I don't know you, but are you in the Word on a regular basis? 7 days a week? Are you in the Word morning and night? Do you have a plan, a program, a schedule for going into God's Word on a regular basis? and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, strength, planted by a river of water, stability, and fruitfulness. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right here, the key to the Christian life. Get out of the world, get into the Word on a regular basis. It will transform your life, and I can bear witness to that today. If you'll practice that in your day-to-day Christian living. There's nothing wrong with Christian books. I've happened to written a few. You probably notice them out there on the table. There's nothing wrong with good Christian radio, and a lot of it isn't good today, but there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with so many things that are on the perimeter and the peripheral of the Christian life, but at the core of it is God's Word. And we often substitute the good. I'm sorry, we substitute and sacrifice the best on the altar of the good. Let's give the Word of God preeminence in our lives. You'll never regret it. Our Father, today, as we have looked into your Word this morning and considered a basic principle, two basic principles here today of getting out of the world and getting into the Word, our Father, I would ask that you would bless these good people here in this good church. And may they be people of the book who love it and who live it. Now, Father, I don't know these folks today. I've met a few of them here in the last half day or so. But, Lord, speak to their hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed here this morning. Perhaps there's one here today who said, Brother Sorensen, I'm not sure that I'm saved. This message has been for Christians. I know that. I'm not sure that I'm saved. But I'd like to know, would you slip your hand up and say, Preacher, this morning will you pray for me? I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? But then let me ask you this, Christian here today, are you in the Word day and night? Starting the day, ending the day. You may not read to the degree that I do, and that's beside the point. The point is, are you in God's Word day and night? Every single day, 365 days a year. Maybe some of you aren't in the Word at all. You just need to start with the morning part and then later get to the evening part. But how many here today would say, Preacher, I need to spend more time in the Word and have a more structured and disciplined life in God's Word? Just slip your hand up this morning. I'll not point you out, but I'll pray for you here this morning. Yes, many here today, God bless you. Thank you. Father, bless these folks. These good people. Lord, give them that desire and that discipline in their lives to spend time in your Word. Not just because they have to or for Christian school assignments or other peripheral reasons, but Father, to delight in the law of the Lord and to meditate therein day and night. Now bless as we draw this hour to its conclusion, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Philip Iyer.
If you would, stand with me. Just close your eyes for a moment and bow your heads. I'll have Elisa play a hymn of invitation. And if the Lord did speak to your heart during the message, now is the time to go to Him in prayer.